So why are you here?
Gee, Brent, what a welcoming way to start a sermon, geez.
But I am glad you're here, but I want you to think, why are you here? Right, why did you wake up this morning, get dressed, drive across town to one of our campuses to attend a service? Or if you're watching online, why did you wake up and maybe you're still in your pajamas, but you at least carved out some space of your morning routine to tune in to our online service. Why are you here? And I ask that because the way you answer that question, I think, reveals a little bit of how you view the church. And we've been talking about the church. We're in the middle of a series, taking 3 weeks to talk about what the church is and what the church isn't. And the reason is because how you view the church, it matters. It matters because how you view the church impacts how you live out your faith. How you engage in your faith is impacted by how you view the church and how you understand the church to be and your role in it. And so let me just be real and upfront here at the beginning. There's something about our culture that we all live in. There's something about the expression of church that we have here at Crossroads, and it makes it easier to view church just as a place you go in a service that you attend. And whether you intentionally think that or unintentionally, it kind of sinks in just by the water that we swim in our culture. And we reveal that we have that view in just lots of little subtle ways with the language we use around church. You know, we say things like, I go to Crossroads Community Church. Or, I used to go to that church, but now I go to this church. Oh, that church has awesome worship. That church has boring sermons. That church is so friendly. Like, we use words and phrases about church that can also be used when we go see a movie or when we go to a concert or when we go see a show. And so the question is church a place to go and a service to attend, or is it more than that? Is there more to church than that? Because how you view church matters. And if church is just a place that you go and a service that you attend, then you tend to engage in church in a more passive way. You tend to only keep going to church when you're getting what you want out of church, or when somebody guilts you enough to keep coming to church, and guilt's not a great motivator. Is there more to church than just a place that you're supposed to go and a service that you can attend? That's what I want to talk about as we dive in to today's topic. And I want to take a look at how the earliest Christians understood the church. How did they view church, and how did they describe church, and what kind of language did they use when they talked about the church? And maybe we can shape and shift our perspective of what the church is today with that a little bit. So the earliest Christians, several different ways that they talked about church, different language that they used. But the most predominant in the New Testament is they describe the church as a body, the body of Christ. Especially the Apostle Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament, wrote several letters to different churches in the area that he helped start. And he uses this phrase over and over and over again, describing the church as the body of Christ. We see this in Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 22, he said, God put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It's made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. The church is his body. The church is the body of Christ. Now, is that just some kind of like simplistic metaphor that Paul uses? Or could it be more than a metaphor? Is there some deep truth there that he wants us to get? The church is the body of Christ. What does that mean? How did Paul come up with that idea? I think Paul got the idea as the church of the body of Christ. I think he got it from Jesus, actually. We have this encounter in Acts chapter 9 where Paul encounters Jesus. And up until this point, Paul had been opposed to the followers of Christ. In fact, he would seek out and he would arrest followers of Jesus and he'd throw them in prison and he'd persecute them. And he was on his way to do just that, to attack these followers of Christ, to arrest them, to throw them in jail. And we see this interaction that happens in Acts chapter 9. It says in verse 3 that he was approaching Damascus on his mission. A light from heaven suddenly shone down all around him. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul." Saul is Paul's Jewish name. Paul was his Greek name. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He says, "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. And the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting." Now, was Paul actually persecuting Jesus? At this point in history, Jesus had been crucified, resurrected, and then he ascended into heaven. So Paul wasn't actively persecuting Jesus himself. Who was he persecuting? He was persecuting the followers of Jesus. Yet Jesus, in his interaction, says, "Hey, whatever you do to these followers of mine, you're doing to me. Why are you persecuting me?" And I wonder if that was a seed thought from Paul's experience. And then after that, he began to follow Jesus and was a leader in the early church. And I wonder if that was a seed thought that he developed into this idea that the body of Christ is the church. That the followers of Jesus are the body of Christ. That what happens to the church happens to Jesus. And whatever Jesus wants to do in the world, he's going to do through his body, the church. The church is the body of Christ. So if that's true, if the church is the body of Christ, and those of us that are followers of Jesus are part of that body, well, then that changes things a little bit, doesn't it? Church isn't just a place that you go to attend a service. Maybe church is more than that. Maybe church is a body that you belong to. The church is the body of Christ. And in some mysterious way, you and I, each of us, form the body of Christ. And if God's going to work in the world, he does it through his body, through the church. The work that God wants to do in the world, he's looking for partners to be a part of his body, to use us, to work through us. And what Jesus is going to do in the world, he's going to do through you and I, because we're a part of his body. That changes things a little bit, doesn't it? That changes how you understand church and your engagement and your involvement in that church. It doesn't just only change what happens on a Sunday morning, but when you understand that you are a part of the body of Christ, that you are a partner with God, bringing his will about in the world, it changes your Sundays, but it also changes your Mondays and your Tuesdays and your Wednesdays, the rest of the week. It changes how you engage in a service that you're a part of as at a church setting, in a church building, but it also changes how you act as the church every day of the week. It changes how you view what you do in the grocery line. It changes how you view what you do with your neighbor. It changes how you view what you do in your home or at your place of work, because you are the body of Christ, and what Christ is going to do in the world, he's going to do through you and me. We get to partner with him to bring about his kingdom on earth. On earth as it is in heaven. Or as my friend likes to say, to bring the up here, down, up there, down here, right? Like, we get to be a part of that, and that changes things. Right? If church is just a place you go and a service you attend, well, then it's not a big deal to skip out of that. I don't have to be involved in that. But if church is a part of a living, active body, well, that's a little different. So if you and I are part of the body of Christ, then what does that mean? How do we function? What does that look like? Well, Paul unpacks this idea a little bit more in another letter. So if you have your Bibles or your Bible apps on your phone, pull up to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So Paul writes this letter to this church in Corinth, and this church was a dysfunctional, divided church. They had some issues, and Paul writes a couple different letters to this church to clarify some of those issues and to help them understand what does it mean to be the body of Christ and how do you function as one body. And so he gets into this in chapter 12, and he uses the human body as a metaphor to talk about the body of Christ. He says in verse 12, he says, the human body has many parts, but many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. Did you know that your body, the human body, has over 200 different specialized types of cells that make up your body? Right? You have like skin cells and muscle cells and white blood cells and red blood cells and nerve cells. And the fascinating thing about all of that is each one of those cells, those different types of cells, they're completely different. They look totally different. They function totally different. But yet they are all part of you. And you wouldn't be you without those types of cells in your body. And Paul's saying, hey, that's the same way the body of Christ. The body of Christ has all of these different unique cells that make it up, that make the organs, that make the systems in the body for the body of Christ to function in the world. And so you could say it this way, that the body of Christ is diverse. All kinds of different people and different backgrounds all over the world, followers of Christ, make up the body of Christ. Luke talked last week about the Big C church, the global church, the followers of Jesus. It's diverse, but yet, many parts, but yet, it's one body. We have the same Spirit, the same focus, the same head, Jesus, as the focus of this body. It's diverse yet unified. And so that means the body of Christ needs lots of different types of people to make up that body. People from different ethnic backgrounds and different cultures. People with different worldviews and different perspectives. The body of Christ needs people with different personalities and different interests and different hobbies and different skills. The body of Christ needs all of that to be the full expression of who Jesus is and what Jesus wants to do in the world. And yet, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but I know there's been times in my life where I've looked at someone that, you know, maybe somebody that's a little further along in the faith than me, and I think, man, if I could just be like them, right? If I could be like them, then I'd be this like super Christian, right? And I would think, man, I need to do everything and act the way they act and talk the way they talk and interact with people the way they interact with people. But no. You don't need to be like somebody else. You need to be like you. You need to be like you because the body of Christ needs a diverse group of people. And it's tempting to compare yourself and say, oh, well, I don't match up, or I could never do that, or I couldn't be like that. And you kind of discount yourself. Well, Paul goes on in this scripture and he says in verse 15, he says, well, if the foot says I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, well, does that make it any less a part of the body? If the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything, right? We understand this. He uses this metaphor of all these different parts is needed to function. Yet so often, I see, when I look at the local churches and the local expressions of the body of Christ, I see this trend where the churches focus and they build upon one person's gifts and one person's abilities. And yet Paul's saying we all can't be an eye. We all can't be an ear. We need to be diverse and different. You can't build a church on one person's gifts. My son plays soccer at Kokomo Soccer Club. And a few weeks ago, we were watching one of his games. And the team they were playing, they were a decent team. But there was one kid on that team that was good. I mean, he was awesome. He was taller than everybody on the field. He was faster than everybody on the field. He had just amazing ball handling skills and this beautiful kick. And this kid was dominating the game. Right? He was dominating. He would just come up and like steal the ball, or somebody would come up to get him and he'd whoop, do this little fancy thing and get around them, and you know, and he was just scoring goals and goals. Like, he was dominating. It was actually kind of fun to watch, even though it was like, you know, against my kid's team, but it's like, this kid's so good. But an interesting thing happened. About 2/3 the way through the game, that kid got tired. He started getting winded. and he wasn't running as fast, and he wasn't handling the ball as well because he was exhausted. And so my kids' team, then they worked together and they were able to score some goals and they ended up tying the game, right? And we understand that when it comes to team sports, you can't build a great team on just one player's talents and one player's abilities. And yet so often when I look at the church, I see just a small handful of people and they're exhausted and they're tired because they're carrying the weight of the body of Christ. And could it be that there's others of us that God has gifted and given abilities and wants to play a role in that? Paul continues on in verse 18, and he says that our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part where he wants it. God has put each part where he wants it. Or you could say it this way, that the body of Christ is intentionally designed. Right, God's not just kind of like throwing random stuff together. There's an intentionality behind how he designs his body, how he designs the church. So could it be that you are exactly the kind of person that Jesus is looking for to be a part of his body? Could it be that all the stuff that makes you, you, right, your unique personality, your unique quirks, right, your abilities, the things that you love and enjoy doing, the passions on your heart, the experiences that you've had in life and the wisdom you've gained from those experiences, could it be that those are not by accident? Could it be that that's exactly who God has shaped you to be? He's formed you with those things because you have a unique role to play in the body of Christ. You and you only can play that role. So the body of Christ is better when you are the best you can be. And we're less than when you're not the best you that you can be and when you're not engaged using your gifts, using your abilities. God designed the body and placed every part as he sees fit. It's intentionally designed. And the cool thing about being part of Crossroads is there's so many of us that understand that and discovering who we are and how God has shaped us and using our gifts. And I just want to share a story of someone here at Crossroads that is using their gifts and have kind of discovered their fit in the body of Christ. So check this out.
My name is Mallory Johnson, and I serve in the kids area. I work with the 2 and 3-year-olds. We started here in 2019, and I knew immediately I want to go back to kids. I've always felt like I was meant to work with kids, and so we got out of service one day. I walked back here, asked for an application, and I've been back here ever since. I kind of feel like it's my calling. Like, it's kind of my gift that he gave me to do, was to, like, work with kids, and I feel like teaching kind of helps me grow even more, and so I get a lot from it, and I also get to love on your kids, and I love it. I'm very outgoing most of the time, especially when it comes to kids. I'm usually pretty bubbly and extremely talkative, and I always joke, I'm just a big kid at heart. It's funny because I saw that was one of the questions, and I've really had to think about this, and still I don't know. Because for me, it's not hard. I get up in the morning, maybe that's the hard part, just getting out of bed in the morning. But Brittany and Anna are absolutely fabulous. They will help you so much. The girls back here and also the guys that serve back here are so helpful. If you have any questions, they're great. We have helpers with us. I mean, they're kids. Just play and have fun with them. You're not going to regret it. It's so fulfilling, and it's so much fun. So it is fun, and it's fulfilling that way, but it's not just for us, but we're also planting seeds that'll end up long term for these kids. It took me, I think, a while to kind of realize that's what this is. It's not just this small thing that we do here every Sunday. It's kingdom work.
I'm so appreciative of Mallory sharing a little bit about why she serves. And did you catch what she said at the end? I love what she said at the end. She says, it's not just a small thing that we do every Sunday. It's kingdom work. Right? It's a part of the body of Christ and God using his body to bring about his kingdom on earth in just small little act after small little act, transforming the world through his body. So if you're interested in trying to find a place here at Crossroads to serve, there's a little QR code in your bulletin. You can click that and pull that up, whether it's serving in the kids' wing and working with kids or other areas. You can see the different options that are available. And you may begin to discover, like, okay, what are the gifts and personality and skills that I have, and how might that meet a need? And I want to go back to the question that I started the service with, kind of in a rude, abrupt way, but why are you here? And you may answer, if you were honest with me, we were sitting across having coffee or something, and you're honest with me, you might say, you know what, I come because I love the worship. The worship is amazing. Or maybe you say, you know what, I come because I really enjoy Pastor Luke's sermons. Or maybe you say, you know, I come because Crossroads is just such a friendly, welcoming place. And those are great reasons. But I don't think that's why you're here. Right? If that's one of your reasons, I think that's maybe what brought you here or what keeps you coming. But why you're here, I think it's deeper. I think the why has to do with who God has created you to be and the unique role that you can play in the body of Christ. That's why you're here. And I'm excited to have a church that we begin to discover the why. Discover how has God shaped me and formed me, and what role do I play in the body of Christ, and how does he want to use me to bring about his kingdom, to redeem and restore the world. Right? I get to play a role in that. How amazing is that? That's the why. I'm excited for us to figure that out. So Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and he reiterates the importance of each part of the body and the role that they play. He begins to talk about how we should take special care of certain parts of the body, because in verse 26, he says, if one part suffers, then all the parts suffer. If one part's honored, then all the parts are glad. Or you could say it this way, that the body of Christ is interdependent. Right? We need each other. It's interdependent. In the same way that in your body, if one part of your body is not functioning right, it causes the whole body to kind of feel it, right? You ever hurt your knee or hurt your leg or ankle, and you kind of walk kind of favoring that? Well, if you walk around too much like that, what happens? Your back starts to hurt, and then your shoulders start to hurt. Like, it just throws the whole body out of alignment. We need each other, and we need each other at our best. And that's why here at Crossroads, it's a core value to say that it's okay to not be okay. And it sounds maybe a little counterintuitive to say, wait, we need to be healthy, we need to be at our best, but you say it's okay to not be okay? And the reason we say that is because you're not going to take a step towards health. You're not going to get better until you acknowledge, like, yeah, I'm not okay right now. And then to know that when you say that, to say, like, you know what, I'm not okay right now, then you get to experience the body of Christ coming around you and encouraging you and walking with you through whatever mess or whatever challenge that is you're facing in that moment. That's the beauty of the body of Christ, because we're interdependent. We don't push anybody out and say, you're not needed. Get out of here. Fix yourself up. That doesn't happen. But it's okay to not be okay. And then you come around, you experience the love of Christ as his body begins to help you heal and become who God has created you to be, to fully play the role that God has for you in the body of Christ, to be the best you that you can. It's interdependent. So then Paul goes on and begins talking about, we're all each a part of the body. He talks about some of the different roles that can be played in the body of Christ, you know, like apostles and prophets and teachers and people who serve and people who help others heal. And then he goes on and he concludes a thought to say, okay, you know what, the body of Christ is many different parts make up one body, and those parts are intentionally placed by God and they're interdependent. But how then is the body supposed to operate? How is the body of Christ supposed to act? Well, he gives us this in verse 31. He says, but now let me show you a way of life that is best. Let me show you a way to live. This is how the body of Christ is to operate. And then he continues his thought at the beginning of chapter 13. He says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all this knowledge, if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but if I didn't love others, I would be nothing. He says, if I gave everything I have to the poor and sacrificed my body on the behalf of others, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. And then he goes on to a section of scripture that maybe you've heard at a wedding. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. And he begins to unpack what this love looks like. Paul's saying that whatever role you play in the body, right, whether it's a role where you have all of this knowledge or all of this faith or be able to speak these things or be able to give to the poor or love others like or sacrifice your body, whatever role that is, he's saying the way you operate your unique role in the body has to be done in love. It has to be done in love. I want you to think back to the 200 different types of specialized cells in your body that I was mentioning. You know, red blood cells and white blood cells and nerve cells and skin cells, right? All those look completely different. They function completely differently. You couldn't take a white blood cell and drop it in your muscle and expect it to function like a muscle cell. Doesn't work. They're totally different. But there's one thing that all of the cells in your body have in common. It's your DNA. Every single cell, whatever it looks like, however it functions, all has the same DNA. It's what makes you you. And that DNA is a set of instructions for how those cells are to operate and what function they're supposed to play. But when it comes to the body of Christ, love is the DNA of the body of Christ. Love is that set of instructions. How am I supposed to operate in my unique role that God has placed me in the body? How am I supposed to do that? With the love of Christ. Love is the DNA in the body of Christ. And anything that's done not in love is not operating as the body of Christ. You see, in our human bodies, we have these foreign invaders that enter our body sometimes. These foreign invaders come in and they inject a different set of DNA or RNA into our cells, and they hijack our cells to begin replicating more of themselves. Those foreign invaders are called viruses, right? You get a virus and it wreaks all this havoc in your body, and it hijacks your cells to give a different set of instructions, a different set of DNA to replicate more of themselves. The body of Christ, in the same way, can be hijacked by things other than love. The body of Christ can be hijacked by things like power and greed and pride and racism and nationalism and selfishness. It can be hijacked by these things that are other than love. And the body of Christ can, without knowing it, can begin replicating more of those things and operating motivated out of heart motivations that aren't the love of Christ. And every single time that is hijacking the body of Christ suffers. It wreaks havoc. And I would guess, any of us listening to this message, if you have a time in your life where you have been hurt by the church, it's been because the church has been operating by one of those other sets of instructions instead of operating in love. So if you don't get anything else out of the sermon, I want every single one of us to get this. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are a part of the body of Christ. You are the church. And church, we have to do everything in our ability to make sure that our hearts are operating out of the love of Christ. We got to check our hearts to make sure we're not motivated by pride or selfishness or fear or greed or anything else. Because anything else is destructive. It tears others down, and it's less than the body of Christ. The DNA of the body of Christ is love. And everything we do to build the church and to be the hands and feet of Jesus have to be done in love. Otherwise, it amounts to nothing. Nothing. So maybe the church is more than a place you go. And maybe the church is more than a service that you attend. Could it be that you and I have been placed by God to be a part of the body of Christ? And that changes everything. It changes what happens on a Sunday morning. It changes what happens the rest of the week. Because we're part of the body of Christ. And we bring God's kingdom to bear on earth as it is in heaven with one act of love followed by another act of love followed by another act of love. In just small ways, we get to transform the world. That's something I want to be a part of.